have been talking about remarkable things for week after week after week as we've journeyed through the book of Acts. And now as we come to this point in the book, chapter 19, and then to the end of Acts that goes to 28 chapters, we find out that one character has really appears in almost every scene from now on, and it is the character named Paul, who we talked about for numerous weeks. So Paul and a number of his companions are on a remarkable road. They travel from place to place to share the news about Jesus and invite people to become followers. So here's a little note, though. As Paul travels, the road is sometimes a gravel road on which he walks. Sometimes the road is a shipping route, and he is riding on a boat from place to place, but we'll just still call this the journey that he is on. So in chapters 19 and 20, which is what we are looking at today, which is what I hope you read ahead of time, or you can still take home and read this afternoon, Paul begins in the city of Ephesus, and he travels to Macedonia, Greece, Troas, Assos, Mytilene, Chios, Samos, and Miletus, and he makes it quite clear as he's going to all these places that he has his mind set, he has his vision set on going to Jerusalem, where he is sure that hardships await him, even if he doesn't know the details. As he goes, he travels with some companions like Timothy and Luke. Luke is who is recording all the action taking in the book of Acts. And then he has some other friends with very Greeky-sounding names, like Erastus, Sopater, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Tychicus, and Trophimus. This is one of those things where if you just say them quickly and loudly and boldly, people think you pronounced them right, and you have no idea if you did. But as he goes along the way, remarkable things happen, and I want to quickly look at three of them today, starting in chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. Paul comes to a group of people, and he starts talking with them about baptism, and they only know about the baptism that John the Baptist was doing. So Paul says to this, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And then John told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. Well, on hearing this, the people were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other languages and prophesied. These remarkable things would happen when they began to talk about Jesus and when people were baptized and gave their lives over to Christ. Verses 11 and 12 from chapter 19, it says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. These incredible things are happening. The Holy Spirit is so alive and well and moving and drawing people in. And then we turn to chapter 20, and this is one of my favorite stories. How many of you ever heard of a character named Eutychus? Anybody ever think of naming a child Eutychus? Have you ever known someone named Eutychus? Well, you're going to find out why. So here's what's happening. On the first day of the week, this is Luke writing about what's happening. They come together as a group to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. We never do that here. You're welcome. But there were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting, and seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. Can you imagine ever falling asleep during a sermon? Or drifting off, or thinking of something? This is why no one names their kid Eutychus, but it gets better. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third-story window and was picked up dead. But Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him, and he said, "Don't be alarmed. He's alive." Then Paul went upstairs again and broke bread and had something to eat, and after talking until daylight, he left. And the people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. I think what we learn from this passage is to be careful where you sit. Don't ever fall asleep during a sermon. And mostly that God does remarkable things. These kind of things are happening in Acts wherever Paul goes. There are accounts of miracles. There are stories about people who hear about Jesus and become Christians. We started out in Acts talking about how they were just followers of the way. In about chapter 11, that is the first time we see the term or the word used to describe the followers of Christ, Christians. In every town, there are people also, though, that oppose the message, that hate Paul, and they seek to get rid of him and to stop this movement. But Paul keeps moving forward. Sometimes he stays in a town for a few months, sometimes for a year, sometimes it's a very short visit. But all along the way, he continues to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit wherever the Spirit leads. Paul leaves his past behind and keeps his eyes focused on the days ahead. He speaks to that in Philippians 3, which Charlie read for us a few minutes ago, when he says, "Forgetting what is behind and straining for what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul alludes to the way that his life was before he met Christ, and that is what he wants to forget. Paul says, "I'm going to leave behind all the things that I thought were important, because what I realize now that is most important are the things of Jesus Christ." And he is moving forward toward his goal of remaining faithful, of preaching the gospel, and then one day seeing Jesus in heaven. And the practice that he does in this time, in this place, is the best practice for us too. To heed these words and to follow the example of Paul and his companions, the example of keeping our eyes on Jesus. And following his example as a body of, first as individuals, but also as a body of believers, as a family of Christ, as a community of faith. There's all kinds of metaphors of how we talk about who we are. But to follow this example as the people known as Bloomington Covenant Church, to keep on moving forward. God has paved a road for this church for over 72 years. And along the way, there have been remarkable moments. You have traveled with some really remarkable companions. And there is much more ahead. So we use these words of Paul to guide us. Forgetting what is behind, he said. Forgetting what is behind does not mean that we have to throw out everything. It doesn't mean to ever forget the people that have been a part of this family. It doesn't mean to cease to celebrate God's goodness in the past. But it means to hold loosely to the way that we've always done things. It means to keep our vision forward, to looking ahead to what God has for this church. As Paul says, "I press on toward the goal." Quite simply, the goal of this church is to continue to be this church. But not to continue to be here just so that the building's here or so that we can take care of ourselves or do that, but to continue to remain in Bloomington, in this place, for the sake of the people that come, for the sake of the people in the neighborhood, and for the sake of the whole wide world. To continue to follow God's lead. The goal is to continue to be a church that declares the good news of Jesus and invites people to follow him. And that is the remarkable road ahead. That is why we started a process of discernment 7 months ago, asking God to show Bloomington Covenant Church what the road ahead looks like. For 7 months, we have prayed, listened, worked, shared our stories and ideas, and asked God for help. And now we have zeroed in on a vision to take us into the next 5 years. As we began that process, the leadership team chose to hire a consultant to help us, and that was invaluable. Joy Shagstead brought her expertise, experience, her thoughtful questions, and her very sassy personality to lead us through. So Joy is here today. I'm going to ask her to come up. We want to thank her and pray for her. But this is Joy. Some of you met her in the focus group process. She led some of those groups. And Joy, thank you so much for taking us through this. I know we couldn't have done it on our own. You kept us going on a schedule. You kept us going with such poignant ways of thinking and asking. And is there anything you would want to say in reflection on this experience?
Well, I've been watching the Olympics all week, so I feel like I should blow kisses.
Oh, yes.
Or wave to everyone. That wouldn't be right, because there were so many people involved in this process, so three really great teams. the community listening team, so these are all composed of lay leaders from Bloomington Covenant, the congregational listening team, and then a vision team, which I believe it will continue on in some configuration. And a lot of you participated in focus groups, so that was wonderful. We had 12, and it's one of the highest number of people that I've ever had at a church that I was working with who were really interested in having a voice in the future of the church. This is a wonderful church, and it's going well here, and that's the best time to do visioning, I think, because you're building on some really solid building blocks, so it's really a commitment to Scripture, a great children's and youth program. You've got a strong commitment to the community and some programming there that's going really well, strong lay involvement, and you guys are good at being friends. So most churches I work with think they're friendly, and I have to deliver the sad news sometimes that actually you're the meanest people I ever met. Not so here. So I'm always a little skeptical when people say, we're so friendly here. But people talked about the deep bonds they've formed with each other, so you are really good at that. So this has been a delight to work with you. Thanks for hiring me, and the future here is really bright.
A gold medal, Ben?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, it's a gold medal church. Yes, right. Yeah. Well, let me pray for you as you move forward and continue this kind of ministry in the world. Thank you, Lord, for this process that we've had, and thank you for sending Joy to help us through it. Thank you for the questions that she asked, the ways that she pushed and helped us look really closely and deeply at things. Thank you for the people that she met and she blessed along the way. As she continues her consulting ministry, Lord, we pray for all the churches and the nonprofits that she meets, that they would continue to exist and to grow and to do the things that you've called them to do too. Thank you for her. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's thank Joy. So it took participation from this whole church to put in input into this discernment process, and then a smaller team of people to put it together. So a few of those team members are going to present the process. They're going to tell you about the vision and values that we've discerned and priorities for going forward. Each of them will come up and introduce themselves.
I enjoy being here and presenting this today. So in the beginning of this year, the leadership team agreed to undergo a process of discernment, asking God to help us discern a vision for the next 5 years. A vision that would guide Bloomington Covenant into the future, created with input from the congregation to share with a new lead pastor when it was time to hire. The leadership team interviewed 3 consultants, and we chose Joy for her expertise and experience. And we began this process, which we dubbed the Road Ahead. Throughout the spring, we prayed for God to help us listen well to God, one another, and our community. We then invited the congregation to participate in focus groups that were led by the congregational listening team. We had 45 children and youth and 91 adults, ranging in age from 3 to 90, that were able to share their thoughts about a list of questions that included what they love about Bloomington Covenant, challenges for the church, and hopes for the future. A community listening team also interviewed a number of people in various roles in Bloomington. The community listening report and the focus group summary are handouts that you can take as you leave today. A vision and values team was then created for the next step moving forward. The team consists of the leadership team and several other church members: Todd Laren, Natalie Mendez, John Mulder, Matt Johnson, Sharon McKernan, Rachel Jensen, Barb Terry, Corey Strand, Gerhard Gliege, Rick Hoffman, Rochelle Laren, Jess Hoffman, myself, and Pastors Anna Maloney and Chris Costin. Thank you.
I'm Jess Hoffman, and I am the Director of Family Ministries here at Bloomington Covenant, and I've been here in one way or another since 2006. I was just doing the math in my seat, so it's been 18 years, and I felt like I was about 18 years old when I started. So it's been a long time. So through the spring and the summer, our consultant Joy, who you just heard from, compiled all the notes that had been taken during the listening sessions and summarized them for the vision and values team to consider. So here's a little bit of what the vision and values team did. We met multiple times to pray, read the data, and look for themes. So there was a lot of information that we went through to try to discern some themes and figure out what was the vision here. We discerned first a list of values. These were the things that were really important to this church and church family. And that was easier because a lot of those values came up a lot. We created a vision statement to use as a guide for the days ahead for us here at Bloomington Covenant. And you are going to now receive a handout that has those statements on it. So it looks like this. So it'll be coming your way. And I'm going to pause for a moment while those get passed out. But actually, as the Director of Family Ministries, I want to tell you, as you're getting those handouts, a little something that's going on this week that you can be in prayer for. On Thursday through Saturday, we are going to have 12 of our middle school and entering ninth grade students who are going to be going to something called MOOSE, which stands for the Most Ultimate Unbelievable Urban Camping Experience. So we're going to go to Buffalo Covenant Church. Connor Maloney and I are going to be the fearless leaders. We are totally fearless. And are with our awesome 12 students. And so their names are, so you can be in prayer for them, Brittley and Carter Strand, Wyatt Vogland, Connor Newton, Elijah, whose name just slipped my brain, but Elijah also, Ben Hagman, Tucker Hoffman, Solveig Jensen, Kaya Haugstad, Addie Haugstad, Maisie Hoffman, and Ava Newton. And so you can be in prayer for us as we head out. So I thought I would use the passing out time to let you know that awesome thing's going on. We're going to do some great worship and learn about Jesus together. So I think it looks like we've about got him here. Maybe? Okay. So our mission statement, which we're going to be looking at the front side right now. So the mission statement is not changing. It's staying the same that it has been. It's loving God and loving others and serving God through serving others. Yeah, hold on a minute because there's a few more getting passed out. All right, so loving God and loving others, serving God through serving others. Our vision statement is, this is what's new. It says, grounded in God's word, BCC seeks to be a growing congregation that deepens faith, cultivates belonging, nurtures the next generation, and strengthens the neighborhood. So here's a little bit more about what those statements mean. So deepens faith means intentionally introducing people of all ages to Jesus, inviting them to follow Jesus, and offering opportunities to grow in faith and through worship and Christian formation and service. Cultivates belonging speaks to that friendship piece that that Joy already introduced a little bit. It's creating opportunities for individuals to connect and develop meaningful friendships here. Nurtures the next generation has to do with continuing our commitment to children and youth, which is something that we have held for many years here. And so it's continuing that commitment forward and creating inroads for families to find a home here at BCC. Strengthens the neighborhood is strengthening and starting missions that allow BCC to have a greater impact with and for our neighbors in Bloomington, which is something that if you are involved here, you know that the Closet of Hope is a big piece of that for us, but there are other ways, too, that we can work together to strengthen the neighborhood and also to continue to strengthen that awesome ministry here. We've got our values, which you can see at the bottom here. So our values are, of course, not only the things that our church values, but they're the ones that were mentioned the most. They're the values that shape our identity here at Bloomington Covenant Church. So first and foremost, you see the Bible. So we're talking about reading and preaching and studying and following God's word. You can see children and youth as a value. It's helping the next generation come to know Jesus and grow as followers of Christ. Neighborhood impact is being a good neighbor in our community. intergenerational community is connecting people from all ages and stages in life with one another, which is a strength that we have at this church, is we have people from all generations together. So it's strengthening that community. And then friendship, which is fostering friendships so that everybody who is here feels like they have a place and that they belong. And that belonging is so important too. Our team is confident that this vision and these values help us to know who we are and what to do in these next few years. They are the basis for the priorities that we have set and that you will find on the back of the page. And Barb Terry is going to come up and talk a little more about that.
Hello, I'm Barb Terry. I've been coming here for about a year, and we'll get into more of that later. I want you to look at the outcomes on the back of your sheet that was just passed out. Outcomes are goals, things that we want to accomplish, and they are listed here. Find and strengthen a faith in Jesus. Value the Bible and pursue studying and understanding it. Learn how to make service a way of life. Feel that individuals are loved and that they belong. And build deep friendships with each other and the people in the community. So outcomes are goals, and we need a goal to move forward. I could say, I want to lose 10 pounds by Christmas. But if I don't have any steps to accomplish that goal, it's not likely I will. So the priorities are the steps that the committee has developed to reach that goal. And the activities are to make it easier for new people to connect to the church. So aside from just greeting people when they come in, what else can we do? Let's think about how we can connect people and get them involved and create a feeling of belonging for them. To make programming more relational and intergenerational, we have great programs here. Sometimes programs are seen as silos. If you're this age, you go here. If you're this age, you go here. If you're this age, you go here. But let's look across and cut across those silos and create opportunities for people of all ages to participate in the various activities. Freshen up the building and make it more welcoming and more usable by the community. We have a great facility here. Part of it will always look like an elementary school, but we have great space. We have a great gym. Can we use it for other purposes other than just athletic events or meals? Let's think about how to creatively use the space that we have and how to update it. Maybe we need a facelift. Maybe we need to make it more modern or whatever, more inviting to people. So those are things that can be addressed under that priority. Breathe new life into the community ministry team. As Jess said, we have a great community ministry right now with the Closet of Hope, but how can we expand on that? How can we build on that? And how can we bring people together to serve our community? Assess current children and youth ministry and identify ways to strengthen and grow the programs. So again, we have a great ministry in children and youth. What else can we do to help children and youth be involved across those silos and be integrated into the rest of the church program? So those are the goals and the priorities. I just have a personal statement. I came to at a transition time about a year ago to Bloomington Covenant after looking throughout the cities for many churches where I fit. Tim was leaving, but I felt the community togetherness for him and for each other. And I also felt a personal excitement and an opportunity for a new direction for BCC. I found an there might be an opening for me to participate where I didn't find that opening in other places that I'd been. Transitions are hard, and we have been in a transition. The tendency either is to pull inward and stay the same, or to accept the challenge of the uncertainty that transitions bring. Chris and Anna and the leadership team and the staff here have helped bridge that gap of uncertainty for us. And now we know generally where we want to go, but not exactly how we want to get there. We have the opportunity to see with new eyes, to hear with new ears, to open our hearts to God's leading. We all have talents, gifts that so far we have not realized. Who knew a year ago I would be up here addressing you? We have the opportunity to know ourselves better and to foster a deeper and more connected relationship with God as we rely on his leading. We know that he's promised to do immeasurably more than we have ever asked or can anticipate. And as we move ahead to address these priorities, listen to your heart, take a risk, try out something you've never done before, and with God's help, we'll move together.
Yes, thank you so much to all our presenters and the work that has been put into this process. And we know that this is a lot of information that we've just presented to you, and it will take some time to process and take it all in. And we want to start doing that by bringing this vision before God in prayer. So keep that green sheet with you in your hands. We'll use it as a guide as we pray today. And we'll start with some silence to take some deep breaths, to center ourselves and let the dust settle as we come before God.